This book is a simplified approach to cooking great food in an ordinary kitchen with everyday cooking materials. The recipes are easy to follow, and the dishes explained turn out delicious and guarantee success on the first try. Those words come from the blurb on the back of the jacket of the new cookbook, Fabulous Food Made Easy, by Chef Gail Lenig. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal, and Chef Gail Lenig is my guest. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Chef, you had me at easy, and then I read Ordinary Kitchen, and, you know, stick a thermometer in me, I was done. This is the book for me. Why did you feel a need to produce a cookbook for real people in real kitchens?
Well, originally, the cookbook was supposed to be just a collection of recipes for my children. And as I went along, one would call and say, well, did you put in this? Did you put in that? Well, what about your gutta? One thing and another. And I finally said to him, well, this isn't a book. And he said, well, why not? So I decided to write a book. And I wanted to make it easy because I think there are fads in cooking with one method, another method that requires special equipment. And I think people need to know that they can come home from a busy day and put together a delicious meal and not have to have special equipment.
You know, I looked at the book and I just wanted to go home and try these recipes because I thought I could. Last year for Christmas, my daughter gave me a Bobby Flay cookbook. And I love to watch Bobby Flay, but I can't cook like Bobby Flay. I never will. And I don't have half of the things in my pantry that he has. Did you focus on, you know, using ingredients that most people have around the house?
Yes, I did. But I also concentrated on tools, a good set of knives, a pastry blender, grinder for salt, ordinary herbs that you can get in almost any grocery store. But basically, it was just about good food that is easy to fix, and it's good enough to serve for company as well.
Where did the recipes come from?
Most of the recipes are my own. If a recipe is borrowed, and some are, then I attribute to the cook or the person or the magazine that I got the recipe from. But then I explain what changes I made along the way. And that really makes it your own.
Is that what makes cooking so much fun?
I think it's very creative, and I do think it's fun.
How long have you been cooking, Chef?
I've been cooking most of my adult life.
Have you done this professionally? Or just...
No, I've not. I actually became a chef later in life. And after I became a chef, I tried a couple of different venues, but I realized that I like teaching the best. I established a cooking school in Indian Hill before I was a chef, and that's what made me decide to go back to school, because I wasn't a chef, but yet I was being treated as a chef. So I thought, well, I'm going to go back to school, and it's something I always wanted to do.
And people are so into it now. People want to eat healthy. They want to eat local and natural, and they're really passionate about studying, aren't they? I bet your classes
are
full.
Yes, they are. Well, the classes used to be in Indian Hill at the Meshiwa Kitchen, which isn't there anymore. But that's what made me decide that I wanted to teach. And if I can't teach, write a book.
And it is a beautiful book.
Thank you.
Not only all the text, but the pictures are gorgeous. Talk about your photographer. Who did you work
with?
Well,
the photographer is a young man that I knew growing up. And I followed him through photography school. And he is also a local Cincinnati young man. And his name is Robert Joseph. And I called him and I said, Robert, would you be interested in taking pictures for a book? Well, he was very excited. Mm-hmm. So he said, yes. And I went down to his studio. He works for a studio in Cincinnati. And they had dishes, linens, silverware. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. So Robert took the pictures and he is very, very good. So hopefully we can do it again.
My guest is Chef Gail Lenig, whose new book, Fabulous Food Made Easy, is available now on Cincinnati Book Publishing. Gail, in the book, you also communicate a sense that while food is really important, it isn't the only thing. Food is the thing that brings people, family, friends together. And you include a lot of helpful tips and a lot of commentary. It almost feels like you're there in the kitchen with the cook kind of saying, oh, you want to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. When did that become clear to you that it wasn't just about the recipe?
Well, I think it came from my mother-in-law, who came from Frascati, Italy. And she didn't measure anything. She would just put it in the bowl, and whatever it was, she knew what it was supposed to look like. And I didn't. So I would put out a piece of parchment paper, and she would put her hand out with the flour, whatever, to put it in the bowl. And I would grab her wrist. I would say, "Espet," which means wait a minute. And she'd drop it on the parchment paper. I would scoop it up and measure it, and then I put approximately. She did not speak English, and I did not speak Italian.
Oh, what a great way to bond.
Well, it was. But now, you know, after practice, and I know what it looks like, so I don't have to measure either. Mm-hmm. But for the recipe, you know, I put it down for people who had never done it before.
Yeah. So often you ask somebody, "Oh, that's so good. Can I have your recipe?" And that's the answer you get. "I don't know, a little of this, a little of that."
Well, and your pinch may not be the same as somebody else's.
I do like the personal notes that you make, like the one where you kind of confess about sneaking chicken thighs to people who think they only eat white meat.
I know. That's a good one. They actually are better. They have more flavor.
What do you think television cooking shows have done to the art of cooking?
I think it's made it more interesting, more approachable. I mean, some people, myself included, before I went to school, don't know how to hold a knife properly, or they think they just chop something up. Well, they have to be, whatever you're chopping, relatively the same size, and it's so that they cook at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a bite if it's bigger and it's not cooked thoroughly next to one that's smaller that's cooked properly. So that's the reason.
Do you have a specialty style of cuisine?
I really don't. It's just good food cooked well.
Do you have a favorite recipe in the book?
I really do like the two that came from New Orleans from my daughter-in-law's brother. His name is Keith, and he's lived in New Orleans the past 15 years. He is almost a better chef than some of the chefs in the restaurants because I've had his food, and it's wonderful. Now, a couple of them are labor-intensive, but they make large quantities, and you can do them ahead. So then you can have your company.
Yeah, because so often the hostess spends the whole time in the
kitchen. That's no fun.
That literally happened to me this past Thanksgiving. I was ready to sit down, and everybody said, "Okay, see you later." That was fun. Well, you know, you talk about New Orleans, and Fats Domino lived in Memphis for 50 years, but when he retired, he moved back to New Orleans because he said you just can't get a good meal anywhere else.
Oh, it's unique cuisine.
It is. Got anything special planned in the kitchen for the holidays?
I do. I'm going to have a crown roast of pork. It's not in the book, and it's been a while since I've made one, but it's beautiful in presentation, and it'll serve 12 people. Anything that you can roast in the oven, I think, frees you to do anything else. And if you set your timers and you have your meat thermometer handy, you can go off and do something else. So I'm a great fan of roasting.
Meat thermometer, one of the most important tools in the kitchen.
Yes, definitely, because you can't see inside. You have to know, and you know, at what temperature a meat is totally done.
The Cincinnati Ghetto recipe, that's bound to be a favorite with our listeners. Years of research?
Not really. I always made my own gutta. My mother made her gutta. I made my gutta. But it never was quite as good as a particular gutta that I got in downtown Cincinnati in Finley Market. So one time I approached the man, and this was a long time ago, and I asked him what the secret was to his gutta. And he said, and it's in the book, that you don't remove the bay leaves. Normally, when you put bay leaves in anything, they're almost inedible because they're so large, you have to take them out. In gutta, you grind up 6 or 7 or 8 in a little grinder that you'd use for herbs or coffee or anything like that. You grind it to powder form, dump it in your recipe. You don't take anything out. You stir it up. That flavor is very intense in there. And I think that's the secret to a good gutta.
If you were talking to someone who was just getting started, just building their first kitchen, and you had to tell them just maybe 5 spices or herbs that they had to have, what might you include on that list?
I would say cinnamon, cumin, a really good sea salt, and a pepper grinder, and maybe sage.
Sounds like winners to me. It sounds like a delicious blend, too, right there. Now, that's your next step now, marketing Gail's Spice Blend. What's next for you? You said you might do another book?
Maybe. That depends. But there's always something going on, always something to do.
Well, and right now, the brand new book is Fabulous Food Made Easy. There are new fresh salad ideas, simple but delicious desserts, recipes from New Orleans, and even that recipe for Cincinnati getup. Been visiting with chef and author Gail Lenig. For a link to her book and her work, you can visit our website, wvxu.org. Thank you so much, chef, for stopping by and sharing some secrets.
Thank you. It was fun.
For 91.7, I'm Elaine Deal.